They literally have created a system that we didn't realize it, but they created a system to entrap us. And once they got us entrapped, then they could control us. And there are people coming, becoming aware that, oh, I don't need to be controlled. I can take care of myself. Thank you very much. And how did you get this control? Oh, you entrapped us. And people are becoming aware of that entrapment and wanting to return to a place that we declared back in 1776 that we would be self-governing and we would be independent. And I'm thankful for people like you, Hannah, and others out there that we've all got these little pieces of the puzzle. And when we get this puzzle put together, we're going to see a beautiful picture. And we all get our little pieces because we all know this piece doesn't fit in this picture you're trying to make it fit in. So you know what? We're going to go over here with these folks and put our piece with their pieces and look at the picture that we're creating.
Yeah, it's like not the deep state picture. We don't want that thing. We want our We the People picture.
Get out of here, deep state. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, but you guys are right. It's like that's why they've had to make the system to where we have to, just like that.
That's what the C2K is report's all about. So that's exactly where we're going today, kind of from a different angle. We're gonna hit your audience in a way that maybe they've never been hit before. So are you ready for that?
Like I said, I'm a redhead. I'm ready for anything.
Hey, all right, I'm with that. Okay,
well, authentication. So you guys want to explain what exactly it is first before we talk about it? Kind of give the groundwork.
Go ahead, Randy.
Okay. Well, authentication is a process a lot of people are vaguely familiar with, and we've heard different movements in the past and sovereign citizens movements, and we've heard these people stand and say, I'm a sovereign, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I've processed this paperwork or that paperwork. Well, they've uncovered a lot of things in the law, and they've made a lot of discovery, but what they haven't done is realize that this already exists within our law firm. And there's authentication is not anything that I did. It's something I requested of the State Department of the state that I was born in and the State Department of the United States. And they in turn fulfill the duties of their department and authenticated my birth record, which made me, in fact, there is on the documents that I received back from the State Department, there is a little list of laws, statutes, codes that are on the lower left-hand corner of those documents. And they literally state that I'm holding the original document. I am the holder of record in due course. And the things that they formerly could do with that record and with that fiction they created, because they created a fiction out of each one of us, a little organization, because once they incorporated our government back in 1871, there's been four other reincorporations since then. They can't deal with we the people. They can only deal with other fictions because the corporation has to deal with another corporation. And that's a long story, and we won't dive down that rabbit hole. Just lay that as groundwork. So I took that and said, I don't need you to administrate that fiction. Didn't ask you to create it. Didn't even realize for many, many years that you did. But now that I see that you've created it, I didn't have title, use, or interest of that fiction you created. So I took ownership of it. I took title, use, and interest of it. I am now the administrator for it, and it takes compelling interest of that fiction away from that corporation that created it. And now, being the holder of record in due course, I'm now responsible for that fiction, and I function as a self-governing individual without their oversight and in a different jurisdiction. And that's a short explanation of authentication.
Yeah, could I add a little bit there?
Hannah? Add a bunch.
So here's the deal, okay? And this is something that a lot of people don't realize. When you register something, what are you registering? Let me ask the question this way. Can you think of anything you register in the world that isn't property? I'm going to give everybody a second. Think about it. Is there anything that you register in the world that isn't property? Okay, the fact is, no, there's not. Okay, you only register property. So what's happening when you register your birth? Okay. When you register a birth, what are you doing? You're registering biological property. All right. So I want to make everybody aware of something. When you register something, you're actually making a deed. Okay. It's a public deed. All right. Now, when you make that public deed, you're by registering it, what you're doing is you're saying to them, hey, I want you to control or administrate this property that I'm registering. If you register software with a company, what are you agreeing to? You're agreeing to their terms and conditions, correct? Yeah. That's what happens at birth too. When you register that birth, you're agreeing to certain conditions, and those conditions are not what you think they are. They're not based in the Constitution. They're based on statutory law. So when your state Congress gets together and passes some kind of a protocol or something that they call law and tries to hold it against you to act or perform upon it, and it may or may not be constitutional, they're holding you to it because they have that authority through that registration process. So when you deregister, that's what authentication is. When you go back and you claim that original document, which is what you're doing when you authenticate, okay, now you have this thing you can do called a counter deed. Now, I want everybody in Hannah's orbit, I want you guys to go look that up, that word, look up counter deed. And you'll notice that it's a secret deed performed under a notary or a private seal. Okay, so it doesn't even have to be public. You don't have to make it public. But what it does is it destroys the public deed. That's part of the definition. All right. Mm-hmm. So what you've done is you've destroyed that public deed that they have authority over, and you've created a situation where now you take control of that, you know, a lot of people call it a straw man, that fiction that's been created for you to do commerce. You now have control over that thing, individual person, whatever you want to call it.
And they did all this, right, Rick, with full disclosure, and your mother knew when she signed that line that said informant signature and registered you and turned you over to them. There was full disclosure, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know that nurse leaned over to your mom and said, you're about to sell your child into slavery, right? Isn't that what they said? I'm sure that's exactly what they know. Of course, it wasn't with full disclosure.
There was not full disclosure, and they did sell us into a type of human trafficking, human labor trafficking, selling us on a futures market for the debt that was not incurred by us.
Mm-hmm. I know, because we didn't do the corporation of 1871. It's like, we didn't do that. That wasn't something that was done by the people. It's like the higher ups. And I love it that now a lot of people are saying we don't want democracy, because democracy is the top down. Republic like, we are the ones where the buck stops. So democracy, it's like, we actually don't want that. We've been lied to and said, correct, oh, democracy is like all of them talking about January 6th. Oh, democracy, it's like it's under attack. It should be under attack because we don't want democracy.
Amen.
We are the we are the ones who say what goes on in our own country. Majority rules. And it's like, it's not the few elite at the top.
Yeah. When you hear those talking heads when you hear those talking heads use the term democracy, it makes you want to pull your hair out.
I know.
When they say our democracy is under attack, then it's want to pull your hair out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Good word, Hannah. Absolutely. But yeah, that actually has happened. And not only the Act of 1871, which many are familiar with, the last time that actually happened, the last time there was a reorganization, which is a Chapter 11 reorganization, actually happened in 1999. In our Constitution.
Oh, that's the year I was born.
It gets kind of reworked every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's happened four times because there is a cycle of debt. Yeah. That happens within international circles and banking circles. That's like every 70 to 100 years.
Mm. Gotcha.
And that's what started all this.
But Hannah, what we really wanted to drive in today, which would be really fun for your audience, okay, is this thing called, there's this thing called the law of agency. Okay. Mm-hmm. The law of agency has to do with you performing as an agent for a principal. Okay. Here's the thing. Everybody who listens, I'm sure, to your broadcast is like, we know there's something wrong. Yeah. We really don't like what's happening. And what we want to do, we want to do something that's going to change, you know, fundamentally change this system back to what we had or something better, right? Everybody's thinking that. But here's the thing, okay? You literally, there's only two kingdoms. That's what C2K means, by the way, clash of two kingdoms. Yeah. So there's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light that's under Christ, and then there's a kingdom of darkness, and that's under Satan and Babylonian system. Yeah. Right? That's why we refer to the system as Babylon. So here's the deal. You can only perform as agent for one of the two kingdoms. Now, when you perform as an agent for Babylon, you're putting yourself in a lower form. You're saying that they're in charge and that you're secondary. Okay. We the people can never be in an inferior state to government because we created the government. We're supposed to be up here. Okay. So we don't serve as agents of any government. We don't serve as agents of Babylon either. Okay. So we cannot fix Babylon. I want to repeat that. We cannot fix Babylon from an agency perspective to Babylon. There is only one way that we can fix Babylon or the US or any other country. And that is to act as an agent of Jesus Christ. He is the agency where we can fix all these things because that gives us a higher authority. We're coming from up here rather than trying to change things from down here where they perceive us as subservient. Okay. Now, the reason I'm going there is because I want to bring up a scripture to people that we overlook all the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20 talks about us becoming a new creation. Mm-hmm. And it says that he has made us ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation. Yeah. Well, now, when we understand what an ambassador is, Hannah, that makes us not just a representative of his kingdom, like literally jurisdiction-wise, an agent of Jesus Christ, but it also affords us the opportunity to build an embassy because that's something that every ambassador has is they run out of an embassy. So when we talk about building a house, we're talking about building an embassy for Jesus Christ as his agent, taking his agency. And what is that agency? That agency is whatever he's called you to do. You know, he's called us all to do something. We all have talents. We all have things that we do that are really good. What, like, for instance, you know, some people love being a plumber. Okay. I don't like being a plumber. It's dirty. It's yucky. You know, you get your hands filthy. That brown stuff doesn't look good to me. I don't want to get in there. Okay. So it's like, okay, I don't like the plumber thing, but some people are really talented at being plumbers. Some people are called to be plumbers. They love to do it. And you know what? If you're performing that agency, that plumbing under the agency of Babylon, there's all this benefit that you have to give back to Babylon, right? Because they got these things called taxes, and they got these obligations that you have to constantly give to Babylon. They keep taking and taking and taking all the time. But what does the scripture say about an agency to Christ? That it's light and it's got very little burden, right? So it's like we have this choice as to what agency we're going to function in. And we've got a lot of work to do to build something that's completely missing from society. You want to tell them what's missing, Randy?
Well, you know, before I answer your question there, you know, what's interesting about the law of agency and about embassies and about setting up and being ambassadors, that language is literally recognized both in the spiritual realm and context as well as the physical realm and context. Literally the same recognition, because the law of agency says that in the eyes of the law, when an agent performs, it is in the eyes of the law as if the principal had performed it. So when we are working under a proper agency, you have an extreme amount of authority and an extreme amount of ability to perform in that agency. And there's very few things that we see that literally are both physical and spiritual. They are recognized in both kingdoms, in both realms, in both dimensions. And it literally is. And, you know, that ambassadorship is another one of those terms we throw around and throw around and throw around without putting to it, what does it really mean? You know, and the word ambassador itself, it comes from the root word, ambacatus, I don't speak Latin, which means servant. Well, is that not the whole teaching of the scripture that we're servants? But yet that servant has such authority through agency. Wow, the authority that we have, and we have given that authority. And you're talking about plumbers. We've given that authority over to regulations, regulatory agencies,
OSHA.
OSHA, to tax agencies that are not even a part of our government when you get down to it. They're not our government. They're outside our government who have come in and taken ground. They've occupied ground for their own kingdom, and we're supposed to be occupying ground and building a kingdom on this side of the fence.
And we're so surprised. Hold on, I'll let you answer that. We're so surprised that all of them, where are they based out of? Most of them, D.C. And it's like, they're all there. All of them, their headquarters are. Well, some of them have moved now, but it's like, they're all there in D.C. So,
Not even in the United States, are they?
Nope.
No. There's a 10 square mile area there that is not the United States. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I got off on talking about that ambassadorship and the literally the how effective that is in the physical and spiritual realm. And I've lost exactly what you asked me, Rick.
what I was getting at is, so you know, for Babylon has had all this time to build infrastructure for Babylon. The way that you run a hospital, right? You have they create a system that's for profit. Everything is about profit. The number of beds in use, the number of beds you have, you know, you got this, like this quota of how many beds you have to have in use or else, you know, all these things, all these factors that they do in every system of Babylon, the education system, like how many kids are in a classroom, everything is based on profit. Everything's based on money.
Is the model. Mm-hmm.
That is the model. The in the ecclesia, you know, it's different. Okay. What the intent is success. The intent is building a model where people actually thrive. That's not based on, you know, making profit, but it's profitable. You see the difference there?
Yeah.
So, because I mean, a workman is worthy of his hire. You know, we're not debating capitalism here because we're all capitalists and we love it. Okay. We have to be, because that's where free will comes from. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have this, we have this situation where Babylon has had all this time for the last, you know, since Christ, 2022 years ago, when he split time, right? They've had all this time to build this infrastructure and to make it just exactly the way they want it to be. And what is the kingdom built really exactly? What infrastructure have we built? Where is our hospitals? Where's our plumbers? Where's our teachers? Where's our, you know, all these things, like literally all of it. We don't have anything. The only thing people relate to the ecclesia are those little brick and mortar buildings that you find all over called churches. Yeah. And what do they do exactly? Do plumbers do they offer, do they got plumbers who come out of the church to go, you know, work and do they got these things? You know, not really. I mean, there's people that'll help you. Okay. But they're really not functioning in that agency fully because we've been like tricked into thinking that what do you do at church? Right, Randy? What do you do at church? You're supposed to just come and sing and listen and pray. And then you go home and Babylon gets the rest of the week. Then you come back again, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're going to go on and get me on a soapbox, Rick.
Oh, boy.
you're so right. And we kind of missed this idea. And people are, you said it earlier, people are beginning to understand. They're beginning to open their eyes. And when we authenticate, that was just the first step towards doing something else. That authentication, we took that compelling interest away from them and we put it in our house. And you notice, Rick, he's got House of Dahijo. That's the name of his house that he established for self-governing. I am of the house of Conway Yoel, and that's the house I established for self-governing. We are the new ecclesia. And you're so right. We have banished almost the ecclesia. We have banished the kingdom of God to be a little red brick church on the corner in your hometown, and they're in every hometown, on every corner, and every town across the country. And Babylon, this system, this dark kingdom, leaves it alone as long as you stay on that corner, and you can meet a couple of times a week, and you can support a couple of missionaries, but that's all you can do. You can have no infrastructure. And what does the Bible say? It says that the government will be on his shoulders. Whose? Jesus Christ. It says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. It says that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And we use all this government language and all this kingdom language, and yet we sit on a street corner in our little red brick church, and we never get out of it because we've been banished there by someone who does not have the authority that supersedes our own as agents and ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And we've set up our house as an embassy, as Rick was saying. We ambassadors work out of an embassy. An ambassador literally is, if you put it over in the physical realm, an ambassador is the highest representative of the president or of the United States in a foreign country. And ambassadors work out of embassies. And we can set up a U.S. embassy in a foreign country. And if I'm in that foreign country and I go to that embassy, I just entered, when I enter the grounds of that embassy, I entered sovereign U.S. territory in a foreign country. When we set up our house, we get authenticated, we establish our house, we recognize, as Rick said, the ambassadorship and the office of reconciliation that we have to reconcile this ground back to Christ. When we understand that, I set up my house now as an embassy. I just established sovereign ground of the kingdom of God in the middle of Babylon's hostile territory. Bang.
And you kind of touched it, Randy. You kind of touched on it, but I'm gonna further that thought just a little bit. Because, see, in the world, in Babylon, when you say ambassador, you know, they got a little bit of authority, but it's kind of like, you know, whatever statutory authority has been given to them by the principal, they can kind of they're acting as the United States, you know, in our interest in on behalf of Babylon. Okay. The difference is, there's a really special word that you said it, you nailed it. You don't even probably even know that you nailed it, but you did. You said that ambassadors have been given the duty of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Reconciliation is a duty far grander than any Babylonian ambassador. They can represent the interest of the United States, but they don't have reconciling powers.
Right. Okay?
We have reconciling powers. To not just to reconcile people to Christ, but to also reconcile, like you said, this nations. Earth, right? These nations, this earth, the actual ground that we're taking, we're supposed to be building infrastructure. I mean, why did you leave us here? Why are we exactly here?
Why did he teach us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth"?
Yeah.
Even I mean, as why, it is in heaven.
Why? It's like, okay, so the scripture says, don't put God to a foolish test. Okay, I get that. But it's like, so is this a foolish test for us now that we're being left here to like just, you know, flail around and be subjected to, you know, what's going
but Rick,
on there?
People right are now? People are really, really waking up. I mean, look at the groups of people, yeah, even a year ago in January. People know something's wrong and they're coming together. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to reconcile this nation there back to its original republic. And we're all, whether we're doing it through authentication and establishing our house, or they're over here and they're running for office. I want everyone to get authenticated and establish their house, become ecclesia, and then run for office. You know, I want to get this order correct because it's like us. You know, there's a movement out there to take this country back county by county. Well, we can only take it county by county if we fix it house by house. We have to do that first. And we've established our house as an embassy, and we're acting as ambassadors. And all these people that are gathering, even just recently, in Phoenix, a lot of people gathered together. Why? They want to see this reconciled.
Yeah.
And if we can get all of our thought processes together and each one of us bring our piece of the puzzle together. Yep. Wow. We will see reconciliation.
Yeah, I'm going to say wow backwards. Wow.
Okay. Exactly.
Hey, but look, here's why what we're talking about, the C2K report is so important. Okay. Look, let's imagine for a second, everybody's got their own idea of what like the perfect utopia is. You know, we bring government back exactly the way it should have been to begin with. Everybody has an idea in their mind of what that is.
Yeah.
Let's imagine for a second that we accomplish that next week. Okay. What's the next deception that's going to come at us? What's the next infiltration that's going to come at us?
Yeah.
All right. If we're not self-governing, I don't care how many times you bring that utopia together, you're going to be deceived right back into it again.
We'll lose it.
So this the principle of self-governing under Christ keeps our interest at bay. All of a sudden, we are not really looking at capitalism the same way. We're not looking at life the same way. We're looking at it through the eyes of Christ. And we're saying, you know what? We see the world a little bit different now. When we start gathering together with our neighbors and we say, you know what? Hannah seems to have that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's got that thing. So we want Hannah to run for local office. So we push Hannah, right? As we get together with our neighbors, we're all self-governing and we say, Hannah is the one. Okay. We're going to push her. So we push Hannah up and then we say, you know what, Randy, we think you got what it takes to be like senator in the swamp, which won't be a swamp by then, hopefully.
Right?
So we start pushing Randy up there to be to be a senator in the swamp. But where does that come from? It comes from us locally self-governing, coming together and saying, hey, you know what? We've identified that this guy has got what it takes. We're going to push. Yeah. That's what we got to do. So when you say there's the county by county strategy, and I give Scott all the credit in the world. I love what he's doing. Okay. But I'm a little bit more micro. I'm looking at this like house by house, individual by individual. Yeah. We've got to like each come to this place where we're taking up, we're taking up our cross and we're following him.
Absolutely. And you've said it before, Rick, and it's worth repeating. You almost said it exactly the same way just now. But if we restored our republic today, it wouldn't be 10 days before we lost it again, because we haven't learned to self-govern. We haven't learned to see the deceptions. We haven't learned to self-govern. And people are standing up and shouting, but we have been so trained to believe everything that comes out of this kingdom of darkness, everything that comes out of this Babylonian system, because it has been captured. We had a great thing in 1776, and some men stood up and said, we're not going to live this way anymore. We, you know, it is self-evident that our rights are come from our Creator. They're not from man. They came from our Creator. They're unalienable. You cannot put a lien against them. They're unalienable. You cannot alienate us from those rights. They came from our Creator. We made a great statement. We made a great start. We made a great start. But you're right, Rick. We have lost that sight and lost that knowledge. And this system has infiltrated the education system so that they could successfully do this, because it is so amazing to see a 22-year-old Hannah who understands this and knows this and is aware, and her eyes are open, and she's telling others of her age group, like you said, and within her orbit, that you know, there's more than meets the eye here. But we would lose it in 10 days if we restored it. And, you know, even today we would lose it. But house by house. And we've quoted before a Mr. Jim Pugh, who wrote a series of books called God is Government. He says, if you think that God is going to skip over your house to go judge and fix the White House, you are mistaken. It has to start in our individual houses. So what we do at the C2K Report, Hannah, and the Clash of Two Kingdoms, and that actually came from that name. When Rick called me and says, hey, would you consider a collaboration with me? Because Rick was doing the Hidalgo show for several years and teaching self-government. I just kind of came into that as a newbie and got authenticated. And I met Rick through some other venues. And he said, would you consider collaborating with me? And I said, yeah, I would do that. And he goes, what are we going to call this show? And I had just written a poem, because most people know me as Randy Conway Poems, called A Clash of Two Kingdoms. And I said, this is a clash of two kingdoms. And the C2K Report name was birthed out of that, because that's what it actually represents, a clash of two kingdoms. So we collaborated to teach what Rick's been teaching for some time, self-governance. And we have to exercise our free will. We have to understand our agency in Christ. We have to understand what it means to become an ambassador. We have to be willing to stand and fight, because if you get to looking through the word, it's very martial in its language. And we have refused to be that. And that's why we don't have infrastructure. There was a time we had some. I mean, you went to a town and you saw the Methodist hospital in this town, or the Presbyterian hospital in that town, or the Baptist hospital in this town, and some of the Ivy League schools were seminaries, and we had some of that infrastructure, and we've lost all of that, because it went to, as you said, the profit model, and everything went to big pharma and profit and banking, and banking is someplace. If we started on the banking topic, Rick will not stop from now till next week. Because that's huge. But we do need to establish our house, self-govern, exercise the rights that God gave us, and build that infrastructure once again, so that, yes, we don't have to have someone regulate our every move. And I'm going to give this back to Rick in just a second, but I've got to tell a story. I did an interview recently, and a lady was very interested, and bless her heart, we are so much this same person, because I was this person, and we all are, because we want to be good people and do the right thing. And we want to make sure we get the appropriate license, do the fall under the appropriate administration, and let them administrate our lives, because we think that's what we're supposed to do. Yeah. And she was interested in the idea of authentication. But the question was, if I authenticate, she says, how is this going to affect my license? Because this particular person milked goats and sold goat's milk and goat's cheese and the different products. And I had to question back, why do you need a license in this country to milk your goat?
Yeah.
And we have succumbed to that. We do not need a license to milk our goat. And she's, well, I need people to realize that it has the approval of like the regulatory agencies. And I'm like, oh, those regulatory agencies that say you can put 4% human flesh and human meat and sell it. You want approval from that agency, or that agency that says you can put this concoction in some child's arm that we don't even know all the results of that, and say you want the approval of that agency? We don't need their approval. We have a kingdom authority that Rick said earlier that is higher than any other authority.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I do like you, Hannah. I've been doing shows for years. Okay, so I'm a question asker. Is it okay if I ask you a question?
Sure.
I mean, I know that's unusual, probably, for someone to ask you a question on your own show. But I mean, seriously, how did you get here? I mean, I'm so interested. You're 22 years old. You actually were born the same year as my daughter. We talked kind of pre-show. We kind of talked about my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm really interested, like, where did you come from? Like, how did, there's not a lot of 22-year-olds like you.
I know. That's why I don't really have any friends that are my age. All of them are like my parents, like older, like people who don't know to be my parents and grandparents. I was homeschooled. So I think that's really like a big thing. I didn't grow up in the public school system. So I think that really helped and stuff. I didn't have the kind of them pushing the propaganda, dumbing down young people so they can't think for themselves and stuff, and actually purposefully like stupefying them to where they can't actually, they don't have the cognitive ability to think for themselves and stuff. So being homeschooled, coming from, I mean, Christian family and stuff. So, I mean, it's like, I think the Lord kind of brought me along that way. It's like, he kind of spared me from being in some of the situations where a lot of my other generation is, where like, and also like watching a lot of the TV shows that they did and stuff that also purposefully stupefy them. Like, I mean, nowadays I love, like, I still love some of the Disney shows and Nickelodeon, even a lot of them are pedophiles behind the scenes, but it's like, I still love some of their shows. But I mean, my generation grew up watching like all of this, and then it just spending all their time in front of a TV and stuff and a screen. And for me, like I said, we only had a few channels and stuff. So I think it was kind of like a lot of different things and stuff. But plus, I've also always been like a person, I never go along with what everybody else goes along with. It's like, I always am kind of like that. Just if it doesn't make sense, I'm like, I don't care if everybody else is doing it. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. It's like, why would you do that and stuff? So I guess that's kind of how I got to where I am. I'm not really for sure. I've always been kind of an oddball anyways and stuff. So
well, a lot of young people are political activists, you know, because they get their sign and do what they're told, and they go out and scream and make fools of them. So how many start their own show and actually understand the political world and how to relate to it and how to share? Wow. That's.
So that's kind of me.
Are you finding other people like you at your age? I mean, are there any?
No,
you're not.
There's hope for some of them. I think some of them have been just, they need to be taught how to think is the problem. It's like, they need to be kind of shown that they like, oh, this doesn't make sense. And then they need to be kind of re-educated, like in the sense to actually think. Cause I think that's part of the big problem with a lot of them, is because they can't actually, they have to be told what to think. They don't care who's doing it. They just have to be told what to think. And I'm like, okay, great. Well, obviously listen to us, cause we're telling you the truth, but more importantly than that, learn to think for yourself, because just because we're like some people are right now, they may not always be. And so then if that comes up, it's like, don't just follow one person. It's like, hey, if they're saying something that you need to actually be able to think for yourself and stuff. So it's like, they're still, so many of them just in the matrix on stuff, particularly on like, you know, the injection, the shot and stuff. So, but yeah.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that. I just was very, very curious, because, you know, my daughter's a very free spirit too. She, you know, I think you guys would like totally get along. I'm trying to get her to do a YouTube channel too. So
she should, we need more young people doing it. Our generation, I mean, like we like to hear from other young people. It's like they a lot of times won't listen to like their parents' generation, because they think they've been, you know, MK altered into thinking that they're stupid, you know, they don't know anything. Okay. Right. So it's like they need young people who like me, like your daughter, that know the truth to be able, like, okay, guys, and tell them the same truth that their parents are telling them. It's just they'll listen to us better. It's like, it's the weird thing, but it's true. And I'm like, okay, well, hey, it's like, we just need more young people to come out and start speaking about it.
Got to have these young people to break this matrix, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been great having you guys on today. I'm like, I'm definitely want to have you guys back on. Cause I mean, there's like so many great things. And like you said, people are standing up and like, and stuff. And so it's like, get authenticated your house and house by house, then county by county, then state by state. And then that's how you do it. It's like, that's boom, boom, boom.
That is how you do it. And we're, you know, I know we're kind of boring sometimes. But you know, there's a lot to learn.
Informational. It's informational. It's like, just because everything's not out here flashy, it's like, information's good. Not everything out here has to be flashy, flashy, boom, boom, boom. It's like, information's good.
Thank you.
She's trying to say we ought to put some glitter on her forehead, right?
Oh, okay.
Glitter on there.
Yeah. But you know, Rick's been walking this road for a long time, and he's brought me in to collaborate with him. And we're teaching not just authentication. That's where we start. And you have to start there. It's really important. But when you build your house and learn to self-govern, you have to learn to recognize solicitations, because this government system will solicit you. Everything that comes from them is a solicitation.
Everything.
And you have to learn to recognize those. Yeah. And people, they'll see something, they go, oh, I'm not going to mess with that. Well, you just agreed to that as solicitation by acquiescence, because you didn't respond. You have to respond. You have to learn how to make counteroffers. You have to set up a trust for your house. You have to learn how to function in your house and keep records in your house. And Rick teaches all of this on the C2K report and the Hidalgo show, how we get back to really understanding what self-governance means. We've got to get away from that model that says, well, I voted for that guy and I self-govern, right?
I got a quick story for you guys, because exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
A lot of people love the governor in my state, because I'm in South Dakota. And you know, there's reasons to like her, obviously. I mean, she kept the state open. She's not a vax mandate person and those kind of things. But she said exactly what Randy said. She said, you know, we're a nation of individuals who self-govern, and our self-governing is expressed through who we vote for. And I'm like, that is so like simpleton, that you know, saying something like that makes light of self-governance. Self-governance is so much more, because like literally every day when you get up and you decide what you're going to wear, Hannah, you're self-governing.
True.
When you decide that stitch behind you, like, is replaced by, like, you know, the frog from Princess and the Frog or something, you know, that's self-governing. You're literally self-governing every second of every day, and the decisions you make have a great impact on your life. And, you know, So to have kind of rules set aside for yourself, that this is how I'm going to govern myself, this is how I'm going to be, is huge.
And we've got to learn to take that into the broader expanse of of just those decisions into our house and into our community and into our nation.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for, sorry, I was sorry. Something popped up on my computer. I forgot to turn it on. Silent before we got on, but thank you guys so much for coming on. It's like I said, you guys aren't boring. It's informational. And I'm like, we need to be informed. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say,
like,
you can make up your own words. That's self-governing. Yeah, you can do that.
I like that. Informatized.
That's informatized. Because I mean, hey, probably, I mean, Merriam-Webster, I'm like, he was probably part of the Babylonian system. So I'm like, hey, we should make up our own words.
That's right.
They do it all the time, Hannah.
That's right. Tune into the C2K report and the Red Patriot to be informatized today.
Informatized.
That's a good word. I like it. It sounds better even than informed. I'm like informatized. It sounds cooler to say.
Use it. I like it.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming. Like I said, I definitely want to have you guys back on because, I mean, there's just some great stuff happening and just love what you guys are doing always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was our pleasure to be with you.
Yes, it is.
I called General Flynn. I said, General Flynn, I feel like God wants us to team up to do a Reopen America tour and we get people back to God. And he says, I know. I'm going, you know?
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
I believe America is supposed to be that shining city on the hill, the beacon of freedom.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
You gotta make sure you tell me your full faith.
These vaccines are zero liability.
There's so much fake information.
It's that David and Goliath thing.
Their agenda is not God's agenda.
Why will the churches not stand up?
I'm trying to save America.
I believe we're in the greatest revival in history.
Thank you for watching The Red Patriot Show. To find more of my content, resources, and where you can find all of my video platforms, as well as all the social media outlets I use, go to www.theredpatriotshow.com. That's www.theredpatriotshow.com. See y'all later.